Hare Krishna. Question: if a relative is near death, how can we best help that person in that moment? Answer: there can be three levels. There is pre-death, death and post-death help that can be offered. Essentially, death means that the soul is going to leave the body and go to another body. And that, it generally happens when the body is breaking down. So the body's breaking down is inevitable. There is a physical closure of the body that is happening. Now the key is, if we want to help ease the transition out of the body, there is emotional closure that has to happen. Emotional closure means that the soul who is leaving the body is to emotionally accept that now I have to leave the body and I'm going to go. So that if the emotional closure, if it has not happened, then the soul stays very strongly attached. And it's not just a matter of attachment in the negative sense. It's a matter of attachment in the sense that the soul's transition becomes more difficult, more painful. So we can help that person in emotional closure by having the sixfold loving exchanges. Now, what I'm talking is based on the Vedic scriptures directly. Along with that, there is a book on death and dying, which is edited by Satyaraj Prabhu, Stephen Rosen, which talks about the experience of death as it is understood in the various religious traditions. And then the Bhaktivedanta Hospital also has a palliative care unit where they offer dying care to terminally ill patients and their relatives. So I am grateful to the inputs of Ramasharana Prabhu for this answer also. So now, in the pre-death care, then we can have an improvised version of the sixfold loving exchanges, which can assist the patient in emotional closure. That means, what are the sixfold exchanges? Firstly, we can express to that person how much we love them, how much we are grateful, how much we loved them basically. And then we can also express our appreciation for how that person loved us. Now we are talking especially about the loved ones over here, because emotional closure especially is difficult if one's loved ones if there is some strain till now. In traditional Indian village, in traditional Indian setting, many times people would go to a place like Kashi or Vrindavan or some other sacred place, and when it would be clear they would be not going to live, and before they would go, if they were from a village, many of the villages, most of the villages in fact, would come to meet them, and then they would touch their feet and they would have like final interactions with them. So first is we express love for them, and we express our experiences of how that person has loved us. And second is, we seek forgiveness for any ways in which we may have hurt that person. And we also offer our forgiveness for any ways in which that person may have hurt us. If that person is elder, it may sometimes seem a little presumptuous to offer forgiveness. But in every close relationship, there can be hurts, and it can be phrased appropriately with keeping the relationship in mind. But basically, that means we have positive feelings and there are no hard feelings. These are the two aspects of emotional closure. And further, these two are important. We tell about how, now that this transition is going to happen, that person is going to go, so how much we will miss that person. That person had a place in our life which is very important, and It's not a hole that is going to be filled very easily. So that also creates a sort of solace that my life was valuable. So, and then the last is important, is that whatever obligations may be remaining, whatever anxieties that person may have, that they will be taken care of. So, for example, if a man in the middle ages or elderly, late middle ages is dying and his daughter is unmarried, then some other relatives come and tell that we will take care of the marriage of the daughter. Or if the money is still in the, if the money is kept in the bank, and how the money will be distributed among the sons, there is some concern about that, whether the will has been signed properly. Then you get, if possible, get the bank manager or get a statement from that person. So basically, depending on the situation, make sure that the person, whatever anxieties that person may have had, those anxieties are removed. Because the sense of obligation is quite deep-rooted. And as long as that sense of obligation is there, that sense of obligation ties the person. Now, what we are saying by emotional closure is that whatever is tying that person to this body, there is one way to cut it, is by harsh philosophical, by cutting philosophical instruction. Now, there is a time and place for that. But at this point of time, usually the person, if it's clear that I'm going to die, the person is more or less accepted. Now I'm going to die. So we have to bring about an emotional closure in a loving and soothing way. And once this happens, once these six things are done, then we can ask that person if he or she has any final unfulfilled desires. So any specific things which they would like to become, they like to have done. And if possible, we can assure that they will be done, or the attempt to do them will be done. And then about, is there anything special that can be done at the time of his or her death? So sometimes, if a person is about to die, relatives may conceal that from the person so that the person may be peaceful. But if that is inevitable, and it may be better to help the person accept it, to inform that person. So that person may sometimes say that, you know, oh, I like this particular pastime of Krishna very much, so I would like to hear this pastime. Or I like this kirtan very much, this particular bhajan very much, so can you sing this bhajan? Or I like this particular picture of the Lord very much, I would like to have darshan of that picture of the Lord. So whatever is the whatever that person would like to have as a setting at the time of death, one can arrange for that. Generally, we should see that at the time of death, that person is, in one sense, the master. So about everything else, that person is losing control. And we said the person is the master means the person, we allow that person to choose how, what best setting to depart in. Now, this is with respect to pre-death. Now, at the time of death, it is good to have as much spiritual paraphernalia as possible around the person. So, as far as sound vibration is concerned, we can have the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra going soft kirtans. Kirtans should be always soft. They should not jar the person. Sometimes people at the time of death are sensitive to sound. And if loud kirtans are there, that may disturb them. And generally, we recite the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, because it is considered to be summary of the Gita. And then from there onwards, chapter 7 to 12 are recited. Now, beyond this, the Gangajal should always be, as much as possible, be available. And periodically, that Gangajal can be dropped into the mouth. And it should be dropped in such a way that that person doesn't feel uncomfortable because of that. And if the Tulsi is brought, Tulsi should be brought because the person is very sick. This will be placed in the lips carefully and not in such a way that the windpipe gets choked. And there can be as much devotional art as possible around the person in the room. And that way, there is sound, there is taste, there is sight. We try to spiritualize the inputs that are coming from all the senses. So, through sound, we have the Mahamantra and we have the Bhagavata Shlokas. Then for the sight, we have the pictures of the Lord, devotional art. For the smell and for the taste. So for the smell, we have Tulsi and Gangajal. For the taste, we have Tulsi and Gangajal. For the smell and for the touch, we can have the Mahagarland of the Lord. So now, if Gangajal is not available, any sacred river which is nearby, that water can also be brought in small quantity. It can be properly distilled or whatever, and then it can be made available for the person. And if the Mahagarland from the nearby temple is possible, that's good. Otherwise, even from one's own altar, the garland can be offered and the garland can be given. And the flower should be used in such a way that even their aroma doesn't create a problem, an allergy or anything like that for the person. And then, with the soft kirtans going on, there are books which talk about how to help the person in the final stages, specifically in terms of understanding how far one is from death. So hospice care is a whole well-developed science now, and Sangeeta Mataji is a devotee who has written the book on ministering to the dying. And there are now other devotees also who have written book, but this is a more hands-on book because she has herself worked in this field. And we can understand the time of death and accordingly help the person and be available in a spiritual setting for that person at that time. Now, when the moment of death occurs, at that time, usually it is a sobering moment, but for that soul, if the emotional closure has happened, then that soul can depart relatively with much lesser anxiety or agitation. And the spiritual sound vibration all around, it can be a very auspicious departure also. So now, often, in the tradition, there are several further factors which may or may not be followed by people in today's timings. So for example, for several days before death, people decrease their intake of food. So the idea is that the more energy there is in the body, because of that, the stronger is the strength with which the prana stays attached to the body. So if the people decrease the input of food, then the bondage of the prana to the body is lesser. Now, the soul actually leaves with the prana when the soul goes to the next destination. So now, of course, from the medical point of view, we have to see what is best for that particular individual. Srila Prabhupada himself, we saw that he, for several days, weeks, months in fact, he ate very little. He would take charanamrit and little more than that during his final days. So he was, of course, at a very exalted state of consciousness, and others cannot imitate him. But according to time, place, circumstance, this is a principle which is observed, that the less the body is, bodily distraction, the bodily energy, the less is the chance of further struggle and attachment for staying in the body. Of course, if for medical purposes, for having the transition smoothly, the doctors recommend food, then that is also a factor which should be considered properly. But Praya Vrata is a respected traditional vow where a person chooses to fast to death. So when one is meditating on higher spiritual truth and is having a higher spiritual purpose, then Praya Vrata is considered to be an auspicious way of leaving the body. Now, beyond that, if the person has any specific pending issues with a particular person or something like that, then it is best if that person is called and the issue is resolved, mutual forgiveness are exchanged, and then again that can help in the emotional closure. There are cases reported of people who did not have emotional closures and they stayed on much longer than the doctor expected. And then when that particular relative with whom they had some estrangement, that person came, they had a talk, and with the emotional closure, soon after that, the person left. So essentially, for us as devotees, once the it is clear that physical closure is inevitable, then the way we can help the soul is by facilitating emotional closure and by facilitating spiritual atmosphere. So emotional closure means, as I talked about, the sixfold exchanges, and spiritual atmosphere is what we talked about at the time of death. Now, after the person has departed, then the relatives will naturally be grief-struck. And at that time, it is not the time of preaching, it is the time of commiseration, of showing emotional solidarity with the person. And grief that is expressed at that time should not be suppressed. If somebody is crying, the tears at that time are often cleansing, and suppressing those tears may be undesirable. So the relatives or whoever can offer support at that time, they can offer mutual support to each other, and let the expression of grief bring about a sense of closure even for the relatives. Although the memories of that person will stay, and there will be naturally the sense of deep loss because a loved one is lost, but still the tears help to, by venting out the grief, help to bring about a sense of closure. And at that time there may be anger towards destiny, even anger towards God. But that should not be taken as a devotional disqualification or a wrong attitude, but that should be understood as a sentiment that comes because of the force of the moment. You see, even Arjuna, when he heard about the death of Abhimanyu, he was devastated and then infuriated. And he lashed out against his brother, saying, "What were you doing? Are all your weapons bangles that you couldn't protect my son?" And then he even turned towards Krishna and he said, "Krishna, you must have known what was happening to Abhimanyu. Why didn't you tell me?" So the Mahabharata does not consider this to be a moral defect. And Krishna does not philosophically try to justify anything. Krishna just consoles Arjuna by being right next to him and by offering solidarity to him. So overall, by having a spiritual atmosphere, not so much in terms of spiritual philosophy, but spiritual vibrations and spiritual stimuli, which offer a soothing experience, and by having an emotional sense of closure for the person who is departing and for those around, the experience of death can be made as less agitating and as more spiritually uplifting as possible. Thank you. Hare Krishna.